93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
It's Brother Johnny, live this morning from the center of the universe, overlooking the Philo Tavern. In Philo!
CB, it's dry here in Central Illinois.
Did you get any rain last night in Philo?
Just a sprinkling, and boy, I'll tell you, it's tough too. Bowie feels terrible. He's already lost my half the crop.
What?
Oh.
Yeah. Not his half, your half.
Well, you know, his half still got a chance for his half.
And Mike Ditka's in Chicago. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, guys.
Well, we always want the Bowie Daily News, Coach. We got to know what Bowie's doing.
That's important.
Yeah. All right.
Well, hopefully we get a little rain, huh? It's been a little dry.
Let me tell you what, guys. I was in New York. Well, actually, Newark. In Newark and was in New Jersey doing something yesterday, and you talk about a storm, and you talk about complications, and you talk about airlines, and I've never seen anything like it, but you know, and then there's nothing you can do about it, so you just got to wait it out, and finally I got home about 11:30 last night, so we were supposed to take off at, I think, 6 o'clock, and we took off at something around 11 or something, I don't know.
Yeah, and so it's feast or famine, Steve, when there is rain. Yeah. It's been pretty
you know, but you're right, John. It's the whole country needs it. I mean, I guess it needs it. I mean, I think it's going to rain up here again today in Chicago, and it's overcast right now. It's bright and sunny, and it's supposed to be nice tomorrow. So I don't know.
That's about the only precipitation in the country right now.
Yeah, they're getting their share up here. The courses are green, and everything else is green. I don't think the farmers in this area are hurting too bad.
Right.
We begin with the Olympics, ladies and gentlemen. It's opening ceremonies tonight. Mitt Romney makes a trip over there before he goes to Israel and Poland. And then I want to give you the clip of what Mitt Romney said that apparently was really controversial and the British media is going crazy. Listen to this.
There are a few things that were disconcerting. The stories about the private security firm not having enough people. A supposed strike of the immigration and customs officials, that obviously is not something which is encouraging.
That prompted this response from David Cameron.
I think we'll show the whole world not just that we come together as a United Kingdom, but also we're extremely good at welcoming people from across the world.
Mr. Romney was forced to row back on his comments.
It is impossible for absolutely no mistakes to occur. Of course, there will be errors from time to time. But those are all overshadowed by the athletes.
It's felt to be bad form to go abroad as an American politician and criticize the country that you're in.
Did you hear a lot there, Mike?
No.
What did he say?
And this is what government, this is what the media does, and this is what they're doing. I mean, they're after Romney because evidently the guy knows more, he's smarter than the guy we have in office, period. And he's more successful. He's been a leader. He's been a businessman. He's done all the things that the guy we have in office hasn't done. But for that prime minister or for that the guy to come out and say that, he's got to be an idiot, really. He's truly got to be an idiot. And it's really a shame, too. It's like them because they're so damn politically correct over there, they won't even honor the Israeli athletes who were killed. So, I mean, they won't have a moment of silence for that because why? Why? Only one reason. They're afraid of the Muslim world. And that's pathetic.
Well, and I'll tell you, Stevie, that's picking. You know, I mean, Romney actually has some experience in the matter of Olympics and did a good job here, and I think he's just making some comments. But, you know, bad form. Okay, you could probably criticize him for bad form, but he just called it like he sees it. I like a guy that does that, and I think they're a little bit discombobulated over there, but. What do you think, Stevie? Are they going to pull it off?
Well, you know, they're supposed to have...
Starts today.
Supposed to have 11,500 from that security company. They came up with about half of that. I don't understand how that even happens when you have 4 years to work on this. How do you come up short?
Well, rightfully, they should be criticized. Exactly. They should be criticized. If they had 4 years to work on it, they knew what the number had to be, and they come up with half of it?
Yeah.
Come on. Somebody dropped the ball. I mean, you can say anything you want to say. You beat around the bush, and you can have a media that says, okay, this and that, but somebody dropped the ball.
Well, I hope and pray it goes off well. Why they wouldn't do a moment of silence for Munich, Mike, maybe it is to not offend the Muslim world. 30 years ago, everybody remembers where they were if you were alive when Munich occurred, and all those Israeli athletes lost their lives. And Israel's obviously afraid of all of this and worried that there's something crazy going to happen here, or at least an attempt.
Well, it's always, you know, the Olympics is, you know, for terrorists, it's one of the prides.
Yeah, it's a big stage. Yeah. Anytime you have a big stage, we all know that.
So they do everything they can. It's hard, Mike, to cover that.
And, it really is. It really is. And you're right. It's a, like you said it right there. I mean, if you're gonna make a splash in the wrong way, then you know, you got worldwide attention. I mean, everybody in the world is going to see what happens if you do an act of terror. That's why these people do these things.
Having half the security, I think disconcerting is actually a rather polite way to
say the truth, then you're criticized by not only the prime minister over it, but the media. That's ridiculous.
No.
Well, you know, if you don't want to hear the truth, I mean, live in a world of fiction then.
Well, they were not very happy with us a couple hundred years ago either, Steve. So every now and then.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
All right, that's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. Mondays and Fridays at this time, 7:30 to 8 on 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. I'm Stevie J. I tell you one thing, I wouldn't want to be over. There's 8 checkpoints to get through that airport, Mike. I'm glad.
Well, it's enough going through. I mean, the Newark airport to me is it's a third world airport. I hate to say that, but some of these airports are just incredible. And so I had I had one of these things that says you don't have to go through the this and that. You don't have to take your shoes off and your belt and you know. So I said okay. So then the guy says you have to go through. I said it's going to go off. And he said, well, yeah, I go through. Anyway, so it ends up, I took it, and I don't mind doing it. But don't tell me I don't have to do it, and then say, you got to do it. So I have to take my belt off, take my shoes off, take everything, you know, the same thing. So there wasn't any difference, because they don't get it. I mean, they really don't. But it's okay. I'm not complaining about it. And what I'm trying to say is I don't care.
They can't manage
me. If they touch me, whatever they want to do. I mean, I understand all that stuff, but don't tell me I can go through without any of it, and then all of a sudden say you can't.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I understand it.
Yeah. 7:42. Okay, the owner of Chick-fil-A says he's against gay marriage. Listen to this clip from the Boston mayor after word came out Chick-fil-A is against gay marriage.
I don't believe a company that speaks out against gay rights in our country today has should have the opportunity to operate in the city of Boston. He does fund groups that discriminate against people. He does, the ownership of this company does. The chickens don't, that's for sure. He's expressing his First Amendment rights. I'm expressing mine.
All right, he's expressing his First Amendment rights. I'm expressing mine as a mayor of Boston. Rahm Emanuel, mayor of Chicago, came out yesterday and said, we don't want Chick-fil-A in Chicago. Should public officials seek bans on private companies because they have differing opinions, Johnny?
Well, I think we're voting on that. That's one of the things I think the whole philosophy, if you want to talk about change, one of the things that I see us moving towards, which is a bad change, is the government will decide what's right and wrong and what we're going to believe. And if we don't believe it, we're going to be punished. That's not what I want, but that's kind of that philosophy. And it's this, we'll take care of you, but you will believe and do what we say. And we'll define what's right. Now, as far as the gay rights issue, that's kind of what I would call a red herring. It starts with something like that, which people have kind of a yes or a no on. It's an easy one. And then it just moves on to everything. They'll start to control your lives, Mike. That's what I'm afraid of.
John, the guy says he doesn't believe in it. So I mean, I don't believe in it either. So some people. If you say to me, I believe in it, I said, okay, that's your opinion. That's what America was all about. You're allowed to have an opinion that's contrary to somebody else's, aren't you? Not everybody's always going to agree on everything, and because you don't agree with it, doesn't mean you're prejudiced in any way.
It doesn't mean you're going to attack anybody.
No,
there's a normal husband and wife thing that's been going on for a long time, by the way.
Yeah,
and I know a lot of people that don't believe in that, Steve.
Exactly, because it'll make it last long enough.
Well, you know what? You know what, though? They said, obviously, we'll serve anybody. I mean, we're not like saying we're not going to serve you. It just says the guy has a philosophy, doesn't believe in it, and so they come out and say all
this. I applaud him for saying it. I mean, I think it's courageous, and you know you're going to take some heat. And I think the guy, like the mayor of Boston, I think this is all political. I think Rahm Emanuel, you know, he, again, that's a knee-jerk thing. Although there is one in Chicago, they're talking about putting another one in downtown Chicago.
Okay.
There's one right not too far, right on the north side, not far from where I am.
Well, I think as a barometer, the view, yeah. I don't agree with the view, but yesterday Whoopi Goldberg says the guy ought to be able to say what he wants to say. So when Whoopi Goldberg agrees with me, I guess this.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. That
no,
often,
I heard that and I go, well, wow. I mean, I agree with the view. That's maybe the first time in my life. So in any event, we'll see how that plays out. Nancy Pelosi yesterday on whether or not the House should take up this tax cut, $250,000 or less.
We call upon our Republican colleagues to bring this bill to the floor today. They could do it. We have it today. Be on the president's desk, signed into law for this weekend. We absolutely must do it, though, before we leave for the August break.
All right, the Bush tax cuts expire. They say everybody under 250. Obviously, a lot of small businesses will be affected. I don't know, Mike, are they going to get this done, or is this just a political move?
Oh, I really don't, but I think they will get it done. I just don't understand the nickering, back and forth, nitpicking this and that. If you equate really in America, and you understand the tax system of who pays the taxes in our country, period, who pays them? I think 10% of the people pay 90% of the taxes. It's equivalent to something like that. I don't know what we're talking about here. We all pay taxes. I mean, if you earn a dollar, you know, if you make, say you earn a lot of dollars, maybe you should pay 30 cents on the dollar. And the guy who doesn't earn a lot of dollars, maybe he should pay 10%. But then again, you know, you're being unfair. You're encouraging people not to succeed. You know, it's like all these talks that we've been given about, well, you know, you didn't do it by yourself. The only thing we're guaranteed in this country from day one was opportunity. That's why people came here from all over the world, because there was an opportunity to make a better life for themselves. And they understood that. But that opportunity could only become true with the vision they had by working their butts off, whether it be in a steel mill or on a farm or where they had to work. And now we're in a society right now that says, okay, here's this. You don't have to work, but this guy that's working, he's busting his butt over here. He'll take care of you. We'll pay part of his salary to you because you don't want to work. I'm not sure I understand it.
I'll tell you, though, Steve, as far as this move here, it's a good example of why I'm so completely disillusioned with Democratic leadership. This has been going on for decades. This is a simple, very, very dishonorable ploy. It's just a ploy.
Absolutely.
What they're doing is they're trying to say, well, the rich have got to help us cut the deficit, and if we don't do it, there's no point in extending the tax cuts, and that's going to take out all the people who don't make 250 grand are going to have to pay taxes because the Republicans won't even tax the rich more. Well, that's going to raise about $60 or $70 billion. The Democrats have blown 1.4 trillion more than what they're receiving this year. The deficit's $1.4 trillion. $60 or $70 billion doesn't mean a thing. They know it. It's demagoguery. They're trying to create a conflict. They're trying to divide. They're trying to get. They're actually trying to
exactly
punish the middle class, Mike,
class,
and then blame the Republicans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's so blatant. And what's really disappointing is I don't know if we're smart enough to see through.
Well, most people don't, John. Most people don't see it. That's the problem. Mm.
So I think it's disgusting what they're doing with that and the $60 billion. What? They gave AIG $185 billion,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're trying to hold off on extending these tax cuts to the benefit of all the people making 250 grand or less, unless the Republicans concede and do the taxes on people making more than that, which will retard the creation of jobs. It will stop a few more jobs. It's not a big impact either way, to be honest. But they're just making a mountain out of a molehill to stir up controversy because they don't have anything else to offer.
Well, I also don't understand, I'm very confused, because you're trying to say, well, we're going to protect the middle class, we're going to protect those who don't make as much, but yet you're coming in with the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare, and you're saying, well, it's time they pay their fair share. Well, wait a minute. You just said that you don't want to tax those people. Now you want to make them pay their fair share as a tax.
Wait, Steve,
and then you want to create
Obamacare,
all these.
In case we forget, because they put it off, so no one's talked about it. For example, the middle class getting hit. if you sell your house under Obamacare, you're going to have to pay a 3.8% sales tax on the sale, and that's one of the things, one of the 23 taxes in Obamacare. It's 3.8%. That's going to slow housing sales. It's going to cut into your take on your house. $100,000, that's $3,800.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and it's mind-boggling, some of these
that's
issues.
That's just one out of the 23 taxes that no one knows about or wants to talk about.
Well, the thing is, I just watched it on TV this morning. The thing that McDonald's are going to have to raise prices. Why? Because of Obamacare. Basically, it's going to cost them like $30,000 more per store than it did a year ago. So they're going to have to raise a price on their product. I mean, I don't know. You tell me. I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't eat McDonald's, but I mean, is it good or bad if they raise the price? I don't know. I would think it's not good.
See, here's the worst thing about government health care. It isn't so much even the money and the $3 trillion. They can't do it. They'll kill us all.
Well,
we know they can't do it.
Well, they can't do a lot of things.
Crazy.
We know that. We know that they're inept. We know that. There's a lot of things we know, but you're right. They probably can't do it.
All right, voter ID in Pennsylvania, Mike. This woman, who's 93, doesn't like the fact that she'll have to show her ID when she goes to the polling booth.
I got in this for one thing, to be able to vote. I think it's a terrible law to make people not be able to vote because they don't have a piece of paper, CID on it. I think it's awful.
All right. Is it a terrible idea to have somebody prove that they're actually that person when they go to the poll?
Well, if you want to cheat, it's a terrible idea because you can't just bring people in who shouldn't be able to vote. But if you want a system with some integrity, we all have some sort of ID right now. And I'm sure if you can't get one, there's a way to get around that to find out who the person is to vote. But to make an effort to find out who's there voting, yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, John, you hit it right on the button. I mean, you know. There's got to be some kind of an identity it would be so much voter fraud, it'd be unbelievable.
Well, and there is voter fraud because in many places they don't have IDs. They just sign a name in the blank and say, this is who I am. They sign that name and that's it. You vote.
No. Well. All right. Finally, there was a little bit of a hubbub up at the Big Ten football coaches meeting in Chicago yesterday regarding Penn State. Obviously, a lot of questions about Penn State. And now Penn State players are allowed to reach out and say, you know what, I'm not comfortable here. I want to maybe leave. Illinois took a bit of a hit yesterday. They sent, say, 8 assistants to Happy Valley because players had called. They're interested in leaving, so we're actively recruiting them. Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio State, because they don't need anybody, and Northwestern have said, well, we would never do that. That's unethical. Is it ethical to recruit players that have reached out in this situation, Mike?
Well, if the players reach out, I don't see a problem with it. I really can't find out where it's unethical. I did see one thing where a lot of the players said they weren't going to leave, that the program was about more than what happened. But, what's happened is we have a politically correct media. We have a politically correct world. And what's happened, they've destroyed a university. I mean, in many, many ways. I'm not only talking about the image of paternal, whatever they want to talk about, but they've really destroyed a university to a degree. I don't know how many of these kids will stay or leave. But I know one thing, that those who stay, it's not going to be easy.
Well, I think that if you could say, the Brits would say it's bad form, Steve, but
no.
I certainly don't think it's unethical. But actually think that the guys who end up staying are going to have a good experience. It's going to be different. They're going to play football. They're not going to have a lot of the pressure. The first year is going to be tough, but I think that they're going to get something out of it. I mean, if they're lucky, at least they got their program.
They know they can't go to a championship game. They know they're not going to be rewarded for their successes, and they're going to play for each other. And the success they have will be their own. It'll be nobody else's. I mean, there'll be no rewards for it.
Well, and Brent Musburger was quoted as regarding the NCAA coming down so harshly, said there's a slippery slope when you start that. In fact, Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten, they've actually floated a potential application for the commissioner of the Big Ten to be able to come in and fire coaches at a university. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, Stevie, when I saw the density, the first thing that came to my mind, believe it or not, when I heard those was, well, welcome to the neighborhood. Maybe we should take some chocolate chip cookies because we get treated like that by the NCAA every day. Yeah. But look, Lou Henson, that wasn't that much more than what Lou got, and we were completely innocent.
Yeah.
They gave us probation. They cut some of our scholarships. When they went through the investigation, we couldn't recruit. You just got to roll with the punches. And I think the holier than thou by the NCAA saying, we've had it, this football stuff, you're bullying as if you're the big money deal. They created the whole situation, Mike. The NCAA
built this. There's no question about it, John. You hit it right on the button.
And they're saying, oh, we're not going to put up with it. It's a little bit disingenuous, but you know, on the other hand, I think, Mike, as far as the university goes, and the president was in on this kind of deal, you know, having all the heat and all the punishment going to the program kind of may take away from the negative of the overall university, since they're kind of paying a price. Maybe that'll help them go on from that standpoint.
University of Illinois, University of Michigan, it's a big, big university. It's the state university of the state of Pennsylvania, which is a pretty big state. So, and you know, they'll always, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I just think that they've set it, I don't say they've ruined it. They've set it back a long way.
No question.
In the eyes of educators, in the eyes of athletes, you know, everything, I think.
Yeah.
It's just something you got to just keep working through, Steve.
Absolutely.
It's called working through adversity.
Yep, that's it. Guys, we'll leave it there, but we'll get back together on Monday. It's always a pleasure. I truly appreciate your time.
You take care. Be good. God bless.
God bless you. Thank
you. All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, Johnny,
see you later.
Thank you, Brother Johnny, live in Philo. Mike Ditka, live from Chicago, Mondays and Fridays. 7:30 to 8 as we cover the gamut of all topics on the local and national scene, and certainly a lot of buzz from Chicago regarding, is it right to recruit the Penn State guys? And I'd do it. I would do it. You know, if they reached out to me, absolutely I'd do it. I need players. All right, it's 7:56 in Champaign-Urbana, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. It's